David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. Today, I'm so excited. We have such a wonderful guest with us. Her name is Barbara Hunt, and her specialty is about forgiveness. And today, she's going to share her story and share what she does, and she's going to give us some valuable tips on forgiveness. So, Barbara, why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself, what you do, and take it away.
Thanks, Stacey. Well, I'm a coach and I help people to move towards being ready to forgive. And then I help them actually forgive. And I work on retreats and I work one-to-one with people and I hold online Zoom events. So people can come, I call it a forgiveness field, and people can come and they can work. You work with your microphone off so nobody's overhearing you, so it's quite private. But that's something I'm experimenting with more, like, so groups of people can forgive. And then also I teach about forgiveness in workshops, and I've just recently been invited to the International Forgiveness Conference, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And then I'm also a musician. So I have a mixed bag.
Wow. Now, you know, so many people suffer, you know, because of forgiveness. You know, in our society, you know, it's natural to get into confrontations with people. People come from dysfunctional families. Over 70% of families are dysfunctional. You know, people go through life and, you know, they meet people, they get hurt by people. And sometimes it's very hard to recover. Now, what people don't realize is that, you know, if we don't learn how to forgive and move on in life, it could destroy us. So, you know, why don't you tell us a little about the power of forgiveness and why it's so important to learn how to forgive others?
Yeah, thank you. Well, there's a lot to it. I think when I wrote my book, Forgiveness Made Easy, I identified five major obstacles to why we find it so hard. And I think everyone knows that it's a good idea, but I think a lot of us find it really hard to actually do it. And one of the really important things I realized as I began coaching people one-to-one and working on the retreats where we'd have 22 people and we take them all through forgiveness work during that week as part of what they were doing with us, we realized that there's no relationship necessarily between someone's difficulty in forgiving something and what actually happened. So I'll give you an example. We had one particular retreat that I remember, a woman who had been insulted by a family member at a wedding seemed to have more difficulty than one of the other clients who'd had severe abuse during her childhood. So there isn't necessarily a correlation. So, and I think sometimes when we hear stories of forgiveness, they can be very inspiring, but somehow out of reach. How do people manage to forgive something like a Holocaust or their child being killed or maimed or, you know, all these dreadful things that can happen to people? And so I got really interested in the potential of forgiveness, but also why we don't do it. And the potential is amazing. And there've been scientific studies that show that it reduces your cortisol level, it lowers your stress, it improves your, you know, just your blood pressure, those physiological things, which is amazing, but also you feel better in yourself. You know, your heart feels lighter. You're more likely to have easy relationships with other people. So not necessarily just with the person who you need to forgive, but with the other people in your life.
Because a lot
and
of
also,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one last thing is there's also, when we talk about forgiveness, there's three different kinds, if you like. One is where we need to forgive somebody who's, you know, created something in our lives that we've really struggled with. They may have betrayed us or whatever. So those who need to be forgiven by us. Then there's who we need to ask forgiveness of or feel like we want to be forgiven by. And then there's also self-forgiveness. And although I deal with all of those things. I think sometimes in our minds, we sort of just squish them all together. Yeah. And when we're talking about forgiveness, it's just helpful to have all those out on the table. And then one last thing as well, I just wanted to add right at the beginning of our conversation, is that I use a really particular definition of forgiveness, which is from one of my first teachers, Kay Bradford Brown. He taught me about forgiveness. And he said, forgiveness is the absolute refusal to hold ill will against someone for what they did or didn't do. And I'll say it again because it's quite long. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is the absolute refusal to hold ill will against someone for what they did or didn't do. And I really like it because it shows you sort of like this idea, like when things happen in our lives, you know, we kind of like gather all the little incidents that somebody's done if we're in a long-term relationship, yeah. And then the bigger things that people have done. And then, you know, we're sort of like gathering all our resentments up, and right. The ill will, letting go of the ill will. So that could be a resentment, a grudge, a gripe, a grievance, is this. And so I think we don't really notice what's going on in our hearts and what's gathered there, because yeah. A lot of the time we can just go, well, I understand that, or I don't think about them anymore, or, oh, that was such a long time ago, I just will never see them again. But it doesn't mean that we're not actually carrying it. It's not still in there, you know, yeah. It's in our hearts. So.
I think so many people suffer from repressed emotions, you know, things happen over the course of their life and they just repress it and repress it and repress it. And what happens is that I think those people a lot of times over time become numb because they're not letting go. They're not forgiven. It's everything is being pushed down and it's become a habit forming behavior, I think. And then, so when things happen to them, I think they continue to repress, whether they consciously know or unconsciously. And those are the people who can't relate well to other human beings. Those are the people that you see with a frown on their face when you're shopping. You're like, oh my God, that person looks so miserable. You know, these are the people that can't enjoy life because they carry so much repressed emotions. Now, what is your feeling about repressed emotions and forgiveness?
Well, I love it that this is such an important angle that you're saying, because sometimes people really don't know that they're carrying it in their hearts. And I have a very broad approach to forgiveness. I think everyone needs to forgive everyone for everything all the time, no exceptions, because if we don't do that, it's a bit like not ever taking the garbage out, if you want.
Yeah.
And so it's like so you it just piles up, and you need to let it go. And I think because we don't really have a way of dealing with our mental health, we're not really taught very much about that at school, culturally. Yeah. You know, you see people on movies going, oh, just, you know, get over it, or, you know, get revenge. There's not a lot of, well, how do you work through the challenging things? Luckily, you know, lots of people are now in therapy and they can get support on their early childhood wounding. And there's much more information available about childhood trauma, adverse childhood experiences. And in my opinion, we need to forgive our parents just because we've had parents. No parents are perfect. I've been a parent. I was not perfect. My son, luckily, is able to forgive me. We've even talked about it a lot. And there are opportunities for us to just use forgiveness as a practice. Yes. And when I lead coaching workshops, I get people to write down the names of the people that they need to forgive, and then add up the number of years they've held the resentment. Yeah. And then as a group, if you're working with a group of maybe 20 people, you have over a thousand years of resentment just in that group of people.
Yeah.
You know, I think it gives you an idea of like how much it matters that we do our work, you know, our inner work. And also it frees, if your heart is freer and lighter, you're more able to do the things that really matter to you in the world and things that bring you joy. And you haven't got, like you were saying about repressed emotion, you're not always worrying, oh, is that going to come up? Or I think that's what makes us triggerable. You know, when you get triggered by something that happens that isn't really that big of a deal, and then suddenly you're, you know, shouting at the cat or your partner or whatever, because it's not really about the thing. It's about something that's been unheld and unhealed from the past.
And, you know, something small could just trigger it, you know, and you don't even realize it's related, but somewhat not, you know, it's something completely different, but you associated in your mind with something else. And then all of a sudden, these emotions just rise from you. And then, like you said, you could be yelling at the cat. You could be yelling at your husband. You can be yelling at your partner. And it's because all those underlying repressed emotions. And, you know, when I started working with a coach and a therapist about certain issues, I realized that, you know, they were things that I repressed over the course of the years. And once I learned how to forgive, and once I learned how to let go, just put all that on a dove and let the dove fly away, it was just, it was so relieving. Now, I think what people think, you have to hear it from the person. And I've heard an instance lately, the person felt that another person was responsible for something. And they wanted that person to say, I was wrong, I was responsible. But that person, I think, really needed to forgive. And whether that person is wrong or not, sometimes I think it's not about hearing from the other person, you know, forgiveness or I'm sorry or apology. It's you.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Letting go and you being able to say, I forgive that person for da 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 da, you know, don't you think? Like, explain to people that they don't really have to hear it from the other person. Because I think people think that when you forgive, they have to hear it from that individual. And that's not true, right?
Yeah, not true at all. You're absolutely right. That's why I like the emphasis on the definition that I use, because it's you refusing to hold the ill will. And that doesn't mean, that's regardless of whether somebody apologizes or not. And sometimes the other person isn't able to apologize. What if they've already died, or you can't contact them, or you don't even know who it is? If there's some incidents, you might know who it is. So and when I work with people one-to-one, it's really important that they understand that may never happen.
Right.
But when I do a coaching session with somebody and specifically doing their forgiveness work, we'll have an imaginary conversation where sometimes the person does apologize. And so even though it's not happened in real life, that it's happened in their imaginary life. And that can be very relieving to the heart. But I totally agree with you that you can't make that a conditional aspect of I'll forgive you if you say you're sorry or if you make amends, because otherwise you're dependent on the other person. And what's amazing about the power of forgiveness is you can choose what you keep in your heart. There's lots of really lovely quotes about, well, not lovely, but interesting quotes about resentment, which is if you keep resentment in your body, you keep, and the word resent comes from sentir, which is the Latin for feel. So that means you re-feel all those feelings. And it says, one of the quotes is, holding on to your resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. Or my particular favorite, which is like holding on to resentment is like setting yourself on fire and hoping the other person will be bothered by the smoke.
Right.
Because sometimes the other person isn't even conscious that they've done something.
Yeah.
Because we often misinterpret people's behavior, or they haven't texted, or, you know, maybe they've lost their phone, but we've gone, well, they obviously don't care about that really important text I just sent them. And, you know, and we're judging them, and then our hearts close down, and they, you know, they've just lost their phone. And then when we know they've lost their phone, then we kind of recalibrate, oh, it's okay, it wasn't personal. But, you know, all those sort of silly things that we judge and jump to conclusions and make assumptions, and we just can let go of all of that.
I think people misinterpret people also. Sometimes someone might say something, but they don't really mean to have it taken in a certain way. And then the other person, because we're all different, we all think differently, the other person might interpret it completely different. And, you know, an argument might happen, or, you know, and then resentment begins. And, you know, and sometimes it can go a little too far, depending, you know, on the situation. And I think people, you know, have to really I think communication is key sometimes. If you're still able to communicate with that person, you know, then maybe some communication between the two and then talking it through can bring a sense of forgiveness and a sense of relief, don't you think?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And when I work with clients one-to-one, we always do the imaginary conversation first. Because okay. often the things that we forgive, you know, like we need to forgive, like if there are all these things I'm holding, like my resentments against my mother.
Right.
And then like some of it is very important. We must have a conversation about that. But this is like, I don't like the fact that she wears dresses that aren't appealing, or she's annoying in the mornings, or you know, but you have these things that we do need to have a conversation about that. That's really important. But I that's why I feel like our forgiveness work is something that happens inside of us.
Yes.
And then when we feel like we freed up our hearts, that we get clear about, well, there is something I want to ask her about, or I want to mention. And then you have the conversation about that. But I don't know about you, but if someone comes to me with a whole load of resentment and the reasons why I've done everything wrong, it's hard to hear. And you just get defensive and you want to explain yourself. So I never recommend that you try and do a forgiveness process with the person.
Right.
Without having done some forgiveness work first. And then if you are going to do that sort of thing, maybe restorative justice or something really important like that happens in a mediated setting. Where you've got someone who can, you know, help you to say the things that need to be said. I mean, you know, that kind of work is amazing. Restorative justice between criminals and their, you know, the victims can be extraordinary. That's not quite the work that I do. I'm more involved in everyday forgiveness.
Yes.
In people just in their everyday lives, doing their forgiveness practice, taking it seriously as something that's really powerful. I think we're not now more aware of mindfulness and meditation and those kinds of powerful things, but forgiveness is a master secular ethics practice or spiritual practice or personal development practice, however you want to call it. But it's because it's so hard to let go, you know, like we're little monkeys, really. We want to hold on to things. We want to hold on to people and experiences and things and money and, you know, and actually the letting go of something that has pained us is really hard.
Yeah.
We're not taught how.
No, we're not taught how. And it's a learning process. And, you know, that's why it's so important to go to either a coach or to go to a therapist that specializes in forgiveness, you know, and to do exercises that will lead you to the point where you can get to that point and say, I forgive that person.
Yeah.
Now, if a person is not ready, because sometimes people are verbally do not want to talk to another person, you know, it's very hard for especially introverted, shy people, or they're embarrassed of the whole situation itself, or they just don't want to share it because it's so painful. Is there anything people could do at home that could start the process so it would be a little bit easier? Do you have anything to suggest?
Yeah. Lovely question. There are a few things. One is to think about the people that you need to forgive. So I keep a forgiveness list. I've done this for like 30 years. And in the back of my journal, I just every now and then I just think, oh, you know, I'm just annoyed by that person. I'll write their name down, you know, or something has happened and I feel triggered. So I'll write the name of the person down or the thing, because it can be circumstances. It can be the weather, particularly if you live in Britain.
Yeah.
Or it could be, you know, helicopters or whatever, you know. So it can be things, and it's still worth doing your practice. I have an attitude of doing it as a practice, that can be a helpful thing. But then when you've written down the name of the person, you can also do a little bit of thinking. And I write about this in my book, where you're looking at what do you get out of holding the resentment, which is a kind of interesting question. So when I say to my clients that sometimes I say, what do you get out of holding the resentment? They often say nothing. And then when we inquire a little bit deeper, there are lots of things actually that you can get out of holding resentment. And I feel that resentment, when something happens, you know, imagine something really bad happens, and then we try and kind of like even it up. And there's even that phrase, don't get mad, get even.
Right.
Where it's like we're trying to balance the thing that happened, which shouldn't have happened, but it did. And so we feel like the resentment kind of like it can act like a shield over our hearts. Or it feels like, well, if I've got this, then at least I know what the right thing to do is, and that person was wrong. And it's like, I feel like it's a boundary. And and resentment isn't a boundary, because I can keep a really clear boundary and say, don't speak to me like that on the phone without having resentment.
Yeah.
I don't have to have my resentment. So it's a really interesting exploration. And we're so afraid of being vulnerable, of letting our hearts be open. If someone's been really mean to you, especially when you're younger, if you've had abuse when you're a child or any kind of adverse childhood experience, sometimes it's easier to carry resentment about it, to shut your heart than it is to keep your heart open and feel the pain.
Right.
And so that's the kind of pre-exploration I would do with a client. And then also to get them look at what's it cost them to hold the resentment. Because like you said, sometimes we're not even aware that we're holding it. But when you feel into your heart, sometimes I invite the clients to visualize, and often they feel like there's a rock in their heart, or there's a, you know, like there's a boulder, or there's a wall, or, you know, we have those sort of metaphors, which just tell us that there's something that hasn't fully been healed. And even though at the time, so people, teachers like Gabor Mate, who does a lot about trauma and addiction, and Thomas Huber, the same collective trauma, they say they're very intelligent coping mechanisms. So when we hold resentment, it can be a smart move to begin with.
Yeah.
Then we start realizing that our whole lives are like this, and we're kind of like, we can't tolerate any discomfort. And when we're thinking, you know, you go to bed at night and you're in your bed, but the person who, you know, ruined your life is in there with you, because they're in your heart. And so that's the reason why you're doing the forgiveness work. It's so that you can free your heart of what's in the way of you having a joyful life.
Now, do you use, besides doing a journal and besides doing forgiveness prayers, do you do any type of meditation or chakras? Because a lot of times when you do the yoga exercises or for the chakra, you know, especially the heart and the throat, you could feel when you're doing the relaxation and the meditation, you could feel the heaviness in your heart. And, you know, sometimes you realize there is a heaviness and then you have to try to dig deeper. Now, did you do any type of exercises like that?
I would see those kinds of exercises as indicative that I needed to do some forgiveness work, but I also really believe in somatic work. Mm-hmm. So it could be that there's a sort of 1, 2, 3, as in you notice in your yoga practice that, or that your chakras, you feel heavy or something's blocked, you then do some forgiveness work, and then you also do whatever the physiological work is that you need to do to release that out of your physiological system, your energetic system, and your emotional system, and then check in again and see what is loosened up in your yoga practice. Because most of the work that I do with my clients is in the realm of the imaginal, and it's journey work, Brandon Bayes' journey work, or Ken Wilber's 3-2-1 processing. So it's that sort of, my clients work with their eyes closed, and we go through an imaginary process. And although it's imaginary, it seems to relieve things on every level. So sometimes people will feel a contraction in their shoulders or in their solar plexus, and then by the end of the process, that's released as well. But I think any kind of personal spiritual development work really needs to happen on all the levels. Doesn't really matter where you start.
Right.
But it needs to go through all of them. Yeah.
I feel a lot of people say when you are feeling stressed and you feel overwhelmed and you have, you know, trauma or any obstacles in your life, they do say that you do have pain or you do have discomfort in your shoulders because you are tense, you're stressed, your traps in the back of your back are tightened. And then you start, some people even develop pain from the trauma and not being able to forgive because they're under so much stress. And like you said, the cortisol level that goes up, because when you're stressed, your levels go up. So do you also believe, because in journaling, because you talk about writing it down, you know, do you feel like maybe writing a letter to that person might be a good exercise for them?
That can be a really wonderful exercise in the, because I created a Forgiveness Made Easy process, which is 7 steps. one of the really important steps is confessing the full extent of your resentment. So you could do that as a letter. The reason I get my clients to do it out loud is because there's something really powerful about using your throat.
Yes.
And hearing yourself saying the words. But some people love to write it down and then burn it because that helps as a sort of extra gesture of that. And also with self-forgiveness, I do that in several different ways, depending on what's the most useful. Sometimes we have core beliefs that aren't even true about ourselves, so we do a bit of exploration with that.
Right.
Sometimes I use mirrors, and sometimes I'll use journaling because it's a lovely practice to, especially when you write to yourself, Barbara, I forgive you for not being a perfect parent. Barbara, I forgive you for this issue, blah, blah, blah. And that can be really wonderful to write that out, and again, and that's something that you can burn. I love the fact that there's lots of different ways of doing forgiveness, and I'm always interested in what works. And yeah. I've been honing my particular way of doing it, but I'm not saying that mine's the only way. And
right.
You know, it's like whatever works for you, do it. And I'm more interested in encouraging people to think about forgiveness as a practice,
yes.
like yoga. You do your yoga practice. You don't say, "Oh, I've done yoga."
Yeah.
You know, it's like you do it every day or every week
right.
or whatever. And it's the same with forgiveness. And even if you've forgiven, like, for example, I forgave my mom, and this was really important when I discovered I was holding resentment against her. And you mentioned earlier on, sometimes there's a lot of shame around holding resentment that we don't even want to admit ourselves.
Yeah.
My resentment was very much around her illness. She had multiple sclerosis from the time I was 15. That was very impactful to the family.
Yeah.
And so it was hard for me to admit that I resented her and, well, that situation. But when I worked through it, I felt like I really shifted a lot. And then after she died, I did some more forgiveness work. And then I had a dream about her one time, and then I did some more forgiveness, you know. So it's like, as you keep going, even if somebody has died, you can still do your forgiveness work. And it feels like layer after layer. And sometimes there's more of one angle than another, because when I work with people, and maybe they've had an experience in their childhood where, say, their parents divorced or something. So they might forgive their parents for that aspect.
Yes.
But then there may be more later on, or other things, that the other angles that they need to also work on.
And you could also see, too, is that a lot of people who have not yet forgave, they carry a lot of anger inside them, don't you think? I see a lot of that.
Yeah. And also, it's not very pleasant to be around. I think we have an awareness of that for each other. You know, like if you've got a friend who's bitching about her mother and she keeps going on and on about it, my mother did this, and you'll never guess what she did. You know, sometimes you can get into agreement about it, but sometimes it can be quite wearing.
Yeah.
And but also, people don't know that there's a different way of dealing with it, that you don't have to just keep going over the resentment and just how wrong the other person is, that there is some kind of blessed release. But there's often anger involved, and also it's important to see that sometimes it's appropriate anger. If you've been abused as a child, or something terrible has happened, or someone's stolen from you or betrayed you, or there's been some kind of violation, you need to take action. And I think one of the other reasons why we find it so hard to forgive is because we think that forgiveness means saying that's okay, as opposed to forgiveness is about what you choose to hold or not hold in your heart.
Right.
And taking restorative justice action, or litigating, or divorcing, or saying, I am not going to keep the door open to you anymore, or the relationship's over. That you keep boundaries, but you can do that with an open heart. You don't have to hate the other person.
I found also that sometimes people I've known that carry a lot of resentment become toxic. And then, like you said, they're a toxic energy, because they carry so much resentment that they don't even realize it, that anger, that resentment, all those negative emotions, the way they behave, because their behavior changes, I've noticed also, they become more toxic energy. And then when you're around them, you feel like they pull you down, or they drain your energy. And would you say it's okay sometimes to move away from that person? Because sometimes people feel guilty that they want to help the person, but then in certain situations, if a person's not ready to forgive, you can't force them to forgive. So
no. And actually, that's back to an earlier point as well, actually, because I think there is a timing to it. Sometimes we're just not ready to forgive. If something recently has happened, it's almost like there's too much energy, there's too much like anger, and you just know that that is not going to be on the table for a while, and someone has to like get through it. I feel it's a bit like a wave, and something terrible happens and there's a big wave of energy, and you kind of have to wait for that to subside a bit before you're ready to look at your forgiveness. And that, I think, is probably why some people say that they don't feel ready. But if the wave has passed and it's 10 years down the line and you're still gnashing your teeth about the thing that happened, if you start noticing how that's impacting you and the downside, the costs of carrying the resentment, that's when you start thinking, I need to forgive this. I need to somehow move beyond what happened, or beyond, because when we start looking at really what's going on under the hood, we realize we're holding the resentment for good reason.
Yeah.
But there's also really massive downsides to holding the resentment. It costs us in our sleep, in our physiology, in our relationships, sometimes even in our integrity. If we think of ourselves as somebody who's, you know, an empowered woman, you know, on her spiritual path, and then we're going, and we're resenting somebody, it's like, it's not a match to how we want to show up in the world.
Exactly.
And if you think about all the brilliant spiritual teachers and the personal development paths, they have forgiveness in them. Most traditional spiritual paths have forgiveness in them. And it's something that we admire. If you think about the exemplars like Nelson Mandela or Gandhi, or the people who, you know, Martin Luther King, people who really took a stand on I will not carry this resentment with me.
Yes.
They're very inspiring. So I think that's something we do aspire to.
And I think people have to realize that, because if you see any of the spiritual guides from now or from the past, you know, they have taught themselves, you know, about love, kindness, forgiveness. Those are their main principles, you know, that they exemplify and they talk about. And, you know, you'll hear them speak, some of these people, you'll read their books. And the biggest thing is love, kindness, forgiveness, and being able to even love yourself and to be able to forgive yourself, forgive others, because you really can't change it. The past is the past. You can't change it. So, you know, you have to just learn to forgive and move forward. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. That it's exactly that. We can't change the past. We can't make the past different from the way it was. So we have to find a way of being at peace with what happened. And that doesn't mean doing a spiritual bypass on it, like saying it's all perfect the way it is, because it may be you need to take somebody to court. But it's like, it's saying, okay, so this has happened. So how do I find that inside of me that can assimilate it and move through the experience, even if it was very challenging? And, you know, some people do go through extraordinary, you know, really terrible, terrible experiences.
Yes.
And it's wonderful to know that there are ways that, you know, I've worked with people who, I mean, literally every single kind of abuse that you can imagine, and sometimes even perpetrators, you know, people who have done terrible things, who feel like they need forgiveness from the other person. If we can be compassionate with each other as well, and, you know, more there, but for the grace of God, go I kind of attitude, you know, to be really understanding of everyone, like you said, right at the beginning, everyone has their struggles. You know, everyone has different, you know, different experiences as they grow up. And we just need ways of helping ourselves to get through those and being compassionate about what other people's stories are. Because that's the thing, isn't it? If we knew everybody's stories, we'd just get much more compassionate.
We would, you know. And I find too, I see this so many times, is that people, you know, they make judgments on people, and people will react and do things a certain way, and they might not just understand it, and they make, you know, negative judgments on those people. But, you know, I always say, walk through the person's shoes and then say what you want to say, because a lot of times if you walk through another individual's shoes, you will have a totally different opinion and you will understand why that person may react or behave a certain way.
Exactly. Exactly. And that also is part of the forgiveness process that I use, where they do take the other person's perspective. And what's amazing is often the other person says things, and then the person who's just done the process went, God, I never realized I had that insight. That was amazing. You know, they have put themselves in the other person's shoes and they can see differently. And yeah, like you said, love and compassion is, you know, we need more of that in our world, especially now with everything definitely. As insane as it is. Yeah. There's a quote by the Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who recently died, and he said, without forgiveness, there really is no future.
Yes.
And I believe we really need to learn how to do it and practice it.
Yes, because I think people, you know, it's sad, but when people have hard lives and people have, you know, they may be struggling with their own issues of forgiveness, people kind of thrive off of other people's, you know, problems, and they don't focus on themselves, but they focus on everybody else. And they always have something to say about everybody else. And maybe it's time people look at their own selves and then maybe, you know, do a little tweaking within themselves, because I agree, you know, we're lacking forgiveness in our society. We're lacking love and we're lacking kindness. You know, these are three main components of life that everybody should have, you know, and in order to live a happy, healthy life, we need to have those things in our lives. And as you know, I don't want to see when trauma comes, everybody gets together and tries to help. That's great. But what about when there's no trauma? We should be behaving like this 24/7, not when something traumatic happens and everyone comes out of the woodwork to help. Why aren't they doing that all the time? You know, we have to make it a part of our lifestyle, is to love, to be compassionate, to have forgiveness, you know, to show kindness. You know, this is something that should be, you know, installed in everyone's behavior.
I totally agree. Absolutely.
Now, you came out with a book. I'd like to know a little bit more about your book. Can you tell me a little about your book?
Yeah, sure. Can I show it to you as well?
Oh, I'd love you to show it to me.
There you go. Forgiveness Made Easy, The Revolutionary Guide to Moving Beyond Your Past and Truly Letting Go. And the reason I called it The Revolutionary Guide is because I really believe that if we did start practicing our forgiveness, we would revolutionize what we chose to create as a humanity. And and also because forgiveness is not easy. I don't know anyone who went, oh, that's really easy to forgive. And we struggle with difficult things. I was working with a client the other day who was so ashamed because of his resentment of his in-laws.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that it was almost like he said, I've never talked to anybody about this because I don't think I shouldn't be holding on to it. And people forgiving, you know, Holocaust survivors are forgiving their abusers, but I can't do this. It was really interesting. And I think it's quite a common experience. And so the reason I wrote the book was because of the 7 years I was spending taking people on these retreats, so that we were working together to help people do their forgiveness work. And so I was able to have practical experience of what really helped people. And I identified the five major obstacles to forgiveness. So that one of them is having a definition of work that works. So that's the definition that I use, the absolute refusal to hold ill will. Vulnerability is another obstacle. We don't want to be vulnerable. And then looking at what the payoffs and the costs are of holding the resentment, to really understand that there's, we're getting something out of the resentment. And if you think about culturally as well, how many movies and books there are and television programs that are about resentment.
Yes.
I bet you can't name me 10 that are about forgiveness.
Right.
Because it's not sexy. It's not, you know, it's like, if you think about what would happen if we just had something happens in a movie and then they go through a process of restorative justice, no one would watch it. But we want to watch Star Wars and Harry Potter and people getting revenge and standing up to the man. You know, it's a fascinating cultural thing that we have, where we're interested in stories of resentment and revenge. And in fact, there was a Bill Maher piece where he went through, I think, 26 different movies with the name vengeance in the title.
Wow. That's just
in the title. So we have a cultural love affair with vengeance and resentment, and not with forgiveness. And that's really my mission, is to help talk about forgiveness in a way that's accessible. So in my book, I even did the thing where I was trying to make it really easy for people to understand. And I tell like a children's story to kind of illustrate, you know, the story of like this young girl, her dad is mean to her at Christmas, and then she brings it up every year, and it's kind of, I make it into kind of like a big story. But it's to just really make it easy for us to understand what the obstacles are. And then the other thing in my book that I talk about is the potential for forgiveness, the vision that you and I can tune into about, well, what would be possible if we really were practicing it all the time? You know, something happens, you choose to let it go, you have a tiny weeny little list because you're always doing your forgiveness. Or what if, you know, like we did with the lockdowns, we have a 2-week forgiveness lockdown where everybody has to do their forgiveness work. And then we've got free hearts to co-create a much more beautiful world that works for everyone.
Oh, you know, yes.
So the potential of it is extraordinary, because we could technically do that. We could forgive everybody for everything. So then you're back to the really interesting question, which is, why don't we?
Right.
Why don't we? Why don't we do it? And that was what my book was trying to address, was it's not easy. No one's doing it. It's amazing. The potential of it is amazing. If someone said, oh, I've got this pill and it reduces your, you know, blood pressure, and it, you know, it kind of improves your heart health, and it improves your relationships and your sleep, and you feel better about yourself, and gives you more energy, and it improves all your relationships, you know, you go, get me those bottles of that, you know, that pill. Yeah. I'll have it. You know, I want, you know, buy one, get one free from my friends as well. And that's what forgiveness offers.
Yes.
And no one's doing it. So that's a really interesting question for us to ask ourselves as a humanity. Why not?
Well, you know, I think society itself makes vengeance sound sexy, and it's an adrenaline rush for many people, you know, and, you know, people get an adrenaline rush of seeing others suffer, seeing others, you know, become vengeant on each other. But, you know, they don't show what that person suffers on the after effect. They're just showing you the fighting and the this and then that and the planning the murder and da 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 da, but they're not showing how that person feels after the fact, you know, what that person is suffering inwardly. And I think people don't, you know, they realize when they start to think about forgiveness, it's not an easy task. It's a slow process, and it takes a lot of hard work, and you actually feel more pain when you're going through the process. But then towards the when you get to like maybe 3/4 or, you know, 60% of the way, you start feeling a relief. You start feeling better in the beginning, little by little, by little, by little. But then all of a sudden, when you're getting towards the end and you're making your way over the hump, the hill, you start feeling like a new person. And at the end, you just, I feel like you get a rush of energy. That adrenaline is there. You know, you feel, you know, like there's a new life awaiting you. You know, you can think clearly, you can focus, and you can start to want to do things that you didn't want to do before, because that negative energy was pulling you down. That you know, all those things that you didn't, you were, you know, you were holding in, now are gone. So it's like you're free. It's a freeness, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It is, and it's true freedom, because you've freed your heart. Whereas if you've just taken revenge, now you're looking behind you, hoping that they're not going to get you back again. So you're not free. You've just hooked yourself into like greater jeopardy. The true freedom is forgiveness.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, where's your website? How can people find you?
My website is www.forgivenessmadeeasy.co.uk.
That's wonderful. And do you have your books on there?
My books are on Amazon.
Okay.
And I also have a little YouTube channel, which is Barbara J. Hunt, and that has a few little forgiveness interviews like this or other pieces. And I'm going to do more teaching on YouTube this year. That's part of the plan.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So for one more time before we go, tell everybody your website again so it sticks in their brain.
Okay, thank you. www.forgivenessmadeeasy.co.uk.
Excellent. You know, Barbara, this has been a wonderful conversation. I've received so much wealth of information from you. You are a truly wonderful person, and you could see you have forgave, you know, because you could see the glowingness, the happiness, you know, and that's what people are going to receive once they learn how to forgive. So it's definitely, you know, worth people looking into. If they feel that heaviness in their heart and they know they have resentment, they should definitely come to your website, look at your stuff, and then maybe learn and actually take on the task of forgiveness. Because, you know, I could say for myself, you know, going through things in life, once I forgave, you know, I felt like a new person and I was able to move forward in a much state or better state of mind. So definitely thank you so much for what you do.
Such a pleasure. And it is like a miracle. And I also like to say this as well, which is your forgiveness is an act of amnesty for the whole of humanity.
Yes.
It's not just you. You're doing it for all of us. So
yes.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming on the show, Barbara. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you again. And maybe we could talk further in the future and have you back on the show.
Love to. Yeah.
Thank you for
your work too.
Oh, you're very, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, Stacey.
Have a great day.
Bye, everyone.